the hour. So a lot of people think, wow, this is such a large station. The truth of the matter was, when I would get there at 4:30 in the morning, I was the only person there in the entire place. So one day when I gave the weather report, and a lady called, and I said something like, I was excited. It was Sunday night, I was somewhere, and Monday morning I had to be on the air. I had like 2 hours sleep. And so I said, high of 70 degrees today in the Delaware Valley, beautiful day, low humidity, truly this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and it came out. Now, I'm working for, you know, a secular station, and I knew as soon as it came out that I was going to get letters and all kinds. So I look at my line and my phone line, there's 5 lines, every one of them are blinking. So I go, okay, one of them's got to be my boss on the way to work, so I'm not going to even, so I just press the button. And this lady on I-95, just north of Wilmington, gets on the phone and she goes, hello, I want to talk to the girl on the air. And I said, hold on, I'll get her. So, and I held the phone out for about 30 seconds, then came back and went, good morning, WNRK, how can I help you? She said, did you just say the Lord made something or whatever? I don't know. I was driving 95 and I'm in the midst of traffic. I got 100 people in front of me. You said, this is the day the Lord hath made. And I said, very apologetically, I said, yeah, yes, I did say that. She said, oh, honey, say that every day. She said, it just made my morning. I'm sitting here in the middle of traffic and you say, this is the day the Lord hath made. And I'm like, you know what? She's right. She's right. I have a friend who's creatively come up with an idea to have index cards. If you are a commuter and you do drive to work and you are stuck in traffic or for whatever reason, she has index cards of ministries that she prays for. So when she's stuck in traffic, instead of getting frustrated that God had ordered a stop instead of a start in her life, what she does is she takes out of the glove compartment a list of ministries that she loves and cares for and starts to pray for them. I said, put me on that list. So does that kind of bring a more settled feature of how we can focus on God when he, you know, unfortunately puts a wall in front of us? Where we can say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the stop. And we're going to talk about a few starts and stops today. Yesterday we talked about legalism, and I got some really great stuff from some of you. Don't be tied up and bound, but rather let Jesus set you free. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. It'll be a quick 15, 20 minutes, but Lord, we're going to give it all to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's women said, amen. Because I travel a lot, I feel sometimes strangely incompetent when it comes to packing still. After 40 years, you would think I'd have this thing down. My friend says, Sue, honestly, have one bag that has all of your incidentals, your cosmetics. Have two of everything. Have one bag that has, all you got to do is, you know, is that's your airplane bag, and all you have to do is throw in underwear or whatever. And she's so right, but after 40 years, I haven't been that bright yet. So I get to check in, and unfortunately, at Nashville Airport, I realized I had taken a straight-edge razor on my carry-on. And of course, you know, the bells and whistles went off. They put me in handcuffs. It was awful. No, I'm just... So it was just one of those days. So I realized, okay, the gal that picked me up, I said, you're going to have to take me to Walgreens or Walmart. I got to get some razors. And she said, okay. So we stopped, and I got a razor. I was there for about 5 days at this conference, and it was so fun. It was a hot summer day, and I thought, put on a pretty dress, you know, shave my legs in the shower. Well, here's what happened. When I got to Walgreens, I'm used to buying the pallet size razors from Sam's Club. You know, the blue ones that lift off the first third, you know, of all the layers of skin. This is what Jeff's, you know, he buys. So, but this time, I'm walking the aisle of Walgreens, and I see Venus Tropical Razor. Now, what I'm shocked is that for three of them, it's $8.99 for disposable razors. I can buy 100 for $8.99 at Sam's Club. So I thought, I was frustrated. I just grabbed it off the rack and threw it in my basket and went to the checkout. And was reluctant to give her $8.99 for them, but I got in the shower back at the hotel, and I'm telling you, I'm having a spiritual experience in the shower. I'm like, oh, he is Lord. I could not believe the difference, you know, and I get in the car. It's the first thing I talk about when I get in the car. When Evelyn picks me up, I said, I just had Jesus in the shower with me. And she's laughing at me. Finally, the third night, this goes on 2-3 nights. I'm like, this is great. So it's one hot. The last night we're together, and I mean, it were really hot. I get in the car, and she looks down at my legs, and she said, Sue, honestly, wait a minute. Are you serious? I said, what? Of course, I didn't have my glasses on. She says, are you using that Venus Tropical Razor? I said, I am. Look, and sure enough, there was about a quarter of an inch of black hair all over my legs. And I realized I forgot to take the plastic off of the razor. Beach ready legs, I'm saying to you. Oh, man. Help her, Lord. For she knows not what she does. Mark chapter 5, we're just going to take a real quick look at this. And we have had the best of the best when it comes to Bible teachers here. How many of you appreciated so much, Cynthia, honestly? And I know, I want to be the John the Baptist. She's Jesus, okay? So I'm just going to share with you what my thoughts and my feelings are about this wonderful Mark chapter 5. There are so many great stories. And in a nutshell, it starts off with the demoniac, where Jesus actually heals a crazy person. And then halfway through this chapter, there enters another individual that Mark discusses about a woman who is desperate, who reaches out to grab the crispedon with a hem of the tallit of Jesus as he's walking through the crowd. She's desperate. And then at the end, he heals a 12-year-old girl, Jairus. His daughter is sick, and he heals her. And here's what my thought is. I am Mark chapter 5. I am a crazy person that God healed. I was a woman who was desperate, who needed a healing in her body. And to my knowledge, I'm still a 12-year-old girl. And here's the thing, what we can learn from that is that God gives us specific stories, specific reasons for us to learn from. And Jesus being the ultimate storyteller, I shared at breakfast one day that, you know, most of my, I would call it edification and sharing Jesus either in song or in word is by story. And I had a young man, I should say he was probably 95, came up to me, and he was very frustrated on a Sunday morning that they, first of all, would bring a woman in to speak to their congregation. And then secondly, all she would do would be tell stories. So he got to me at the end of the service, and he grabbed me by the arm, and he said, listen, he said, I wish you would get a little deeper in your teaching and quit just telling stories. Jesus never told stories. So I knew right then, you know, that I would be okay. Jesus told some of the most amazing stories, and he challenged the ones who thought they knew it all the most. So if I'm not sure what level you've come this weekend, and we are so thrilled that we have varying degrees of spirituality that is here. We have some women who gave their heart to the Lord this weekend. Is that awesome? They gave their heart to Jesus. They're baby Christians, and some of you might have been, you know, some of you have been in the faith for probably 50 or more years. And so we come together in a place of neutrality like this where you say, okay, so how do we adapt? How do we prepare? How do we know what to say? Well, Cynthia says it, we don't say anything. We let the Word of God speak. We're just the conduit. And on radio, I realized that's all I was just a voice. I want to be a voice for the Father. I want to be a voice for the Holy Spirit. I want to be a voice for the kingdom. And I want Jesus to shine most of all. So the woman we're going to focus on today is basically the one who reached out into the crowd and said, I got to touch Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus on chapter 5 of Mark, verse 30, says that Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the corner and asked, say this together, who touched me or my robe? Who touched me? Who touched my robe? Now,
obviously, his posse, who was around him, said, Jesus, wait a minute. Okay, do you realize there are 1,000 people here? Do you have any idea that this whole group here, they probably have bumped into you, touched you? What do you mean, who touched me? That makes no sense. There's 1,000,000 people around you. And then Jesus responds and says, he kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, here's my favorite word in scripture. When people want to put something on my little tombstone, just say daughter, because that means so much to me. Why does it mean so much to me? Because my father also called me daughter. I loved when my daddy called me daughter, because that gave me 2 identifications. One, that I was his, and number 2, that he was mine. And here's an amazing thing. When Jesus calls you daughter, or the Holy Spirit calls you daughter, or God calls you daughter, you remember that very fact, that you are his, but he is also yours. So I love this part. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I'll take that. I'll write that down. I'll put that on an index card when I know my friend in Malaysia is going through some physical infirmities. I will write down and say, God bless Carrie today, God. Your daughter, who's on the front lines, all I do is just raise funds for her. But God, she's on the front lines doing your ministry and putting her life in jeopardy every single day, because she is what? A daughter. Don't ever forget that. So the blessing continues, and there's not enough time to even go into all of that, but there's just a few things that just really hit me. There's a good chance that Jesus was wearing a tallit, which is what most rabbis would wear, a prayer shawl. And so when I thought about this, I did some studying and tried to ask my friend, who is Rabbi Dale Cohen, who is just a wonderful messianic rabbi, and I never present anything without at least giving him an opportunity to go through it, make sure that I'm scripturally sound. But he says that there are so many interesting promises that are within the tallit. There are 613 commandments in what's called the chrespedon of the tallit. And it's similar to like what an umbilical cord looks like. And it's life-giving. There's tassels that hang from the tallit. And a lot of scripture will bring out and say that the woman not only was just trying to, she wasn't just trying to reach out and just grab him or, you know, just grab any part. She was intentional about grabbing a certain portion of the tallit, the wings, which I love that. And Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings, that word again, you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. I was that bleeding woman. I was not only bleeding physically in my life in the past, but I was bleeding spiritually. And I love the mystery and the secrets of the kingdom, as Romans 11:25 says. Gentiles who are hungry for the things of God will open their eyes to the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom. I love that. She knew something. This woman had to know something before. She either, you know, she didn't get a text to say that Jesus was coming to town. She didn't get a notification by email. But my guess is that she had been reading from Isaiah, where it says, he was bruised for our iniquities. And I have a feeling that she was well read in Scripture to be so intentional about touching a specific part of Jesus as he walked by. I love this too. My friend Dale Cohen tells the story of how the tallit is made. The tallit is made of pure white wool, and it does not come from a sheep. It comes from a lamb. I'll let you sit on that for a second. Pure lamb's wool is what a tallit is made of. And I did a little more research, And I read this, and this is true. I have a friend in Ohio that raises sheep. And she said it's the funniest thing she ever has done in her entire life. Her husband was a corporate executive, gave up his business in Chicago. They moved to Ohio and bought a sheep farm. And now she says, you can't believe, we laugh every day of our life because these sheep are just stupid. And they gotta go over here, then you gotta get them over there. And they train their dogs to try to, but they have an amazing, amazing business now. And so, but she said, Sue, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but one day our veterinarian who helps to make sure that everything goes well with all of the sheep that we have, and they have some beautiful ones, by the way, sent me some pictures. She said, sheep are equipped with the ability to resist the effects of the bite of a venomous snake. Upon being bitten by a venomous snake, when the poisonous toxins enter the bloodstream of a sheep, the sheep has a natural protection written in its DNA that identifies the toxin, and an anti-venom is created that neutralizes the toxicity of the venom. And the toxins are passed through the sheep's system without any side effects, thus saving the life of a sheep. Here's the spiritual application. I don't have to fill it in, do I? I want each of you, when you leave this wonderful sanctuary of worship this morning, I want you to think of the times in your life when you've desperately needed the Holy Spirit to be that anti-venom in your life. And maybe you're stupid like a sheep. The only animal in the entire kingdom of God's creativity is a sheep that has an anti-venom within its body to repel the bite of a venomous snake. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And we can walk from this place saying, God, thank you. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the ability to create this anti-venom that when I get attacked or I get bit, that I can raise up and say, thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who gives me the power to walk, to talk, to listen, to open up our hearts and be an example of God. Got just 5 more minutes. I love this story. It was a little girl on a Sunday morning. I was told that she couldn't speak very well since she was like probably, starting to formulate. What is it, about a year old? You start to make words. And her words were very, everything was lispy. She had such a horrible lisp. It was just, and so the pastor decided on a Sunday morning, and she'd been through a surgery of her tongue. She had gone through a couple speech therapy classes. Her parents were very concerned. And the child stands up on a Sunday morning and always sat on the front row, and the preacher says, we're going to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit. And he watches this little girl singing to the top of her lungs, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And the pastor heard her, and he grabbed her and brought her up on the platform. And here's what I did as I stood next to my pastor. He said this. One day, this little girl might be a messenger for the gospel. One day, she may go from just being a lisperer to a Holy Spirit lisperer. And can I tell you, when I walked out of that Sunday morning service when I was 5 years old, something dramatically happened in my mouth. And after speech therapy and after surgery of my tongue, I realized that God could use me even the way that I am. Now, isn't it funny? The girl who's healed of a speech impediment uses her voice for the kingdom of God. And if you get to her real close, she'll spit on you still. But none of that matters today. I mean, the healing part is great and it's awesome, but here's what I die to every day. Oh God, I was healed once physically. But God, protect my tongue. Guard my tongue. May it prevent words that will destroy or words that will kill. God, impart into me also that anti-venom where I can repel the voice of darkness that comes into my ears and my heart. God, protect all of us as women together that we can say, thank you, Lord, for using our voice and our tongue to sing praises to your name. That when we feel like giving up and we feel like we're not worth it, when we feel like there's nothing in our life that makes sense, God, your word makes sense. Help us to pray the scripture. Help us to infuse your word into our life that when we have nothing to say, but yet we can say, God, you are our secret place and you are our reason for living. And we give you praise and we give you honor because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you can take a child with a handicap, God, you can use anyone. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's women said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Praise God. Amen. So I'm still working on my handicap. I have 150 others. But that's good. That's what keeps you sharp. It keeps you sharp. I'll never forget what God has done for me. And I also know that when you leave here, as you leave the grounds today, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll say, God, here's my failure. Here's my fault, or here's my fart. And I give it completely back to you, because like Mark 5 says, you know, if he can heal a demon-possessed man, and he can heal a woman who is desperate, and he can heal a 12-year-old girl, he can heal me. Oh, and one more thing I forgot to tell you. Good chances Jesus didn't know that woman who reached out. Good chance. But she knew him. I love you. God bless you. Amen.